This show is sponsored by ODYS Global. Make sure that you do sign up and get a free $100 bonus by checking out ODYS Global's Age Domains or Done For You affiliate websites. Hello guys, and welcome to today's podcast where I'm joined by this guy. I need to get the fingers right. Julian Goldie, who you may recognise. I was on your thing before, Julian. So how long ago was that?
That was about 2 months ago, wasn't it?
Was it 2 months? Yeah.
Two or three months ago. Yeah, time flies, isn't it?
I thought it was longer than that, to be honest. But yeah,
maybe my memory's not that good. But yeah.
But anyway, you may have seen that episode, but we have Julian here today to talk about link building, which is a very commonly asked question on my lives, on my YouTube and on everything else. So Julian, you are a perfect fit. But before we go into link building, just for anyone who doesn't know you, doesn't know what you do, can you just give us a brief background of what you've been doing over the past few years?
Yeah, sure. So I started link building about 5 years ago for my own affiliate websites. And then I realized, right, you know, this works for our own site. Maybe clients would be interested in that too. So I started up my own agency. And from there, just kept growing and kept scaling and building a team around link building, really. So now we do Harrow and the Skyscraper Technique for clients and build links for them.
Interesting. And obviously, off air while we're talking, you're back in the UK now, but you reside over in Thailand, luckily enough.
Yes.
I'm just curious, right? Now, I've got friends in the industry, Mads and all these kind of guys, and people are floating about all over the world. What is the big attraction to Thailand with digital marketing people? Like, why did you choose to go to Thailand?
Well, I mean, for me, personally, it's like my favorite country, honestly. So what happened was actually about 6 years ago, me and a few of my best mates, we went over to Thailand and just loved it. You know, we were there for like 2 weeks. Afterwards, got the holiday blues massively. You know, came back and it was freezing cold and pretty bored and missing Thailand. So we said, right, within 1 year, we want to be working online, based out in Thailand, and, you know, have the freedom to work online and do our own thing. So that's really when everything switched for me. And I started building out an affiliate website and getting into link building. But for me, I love Thailand because, you know, it's a great culture, great people, amazing community, especially if you're in SEO. You know, if you go up to Chiang Mai, you'll just meet so many people. They've got a great community of SEOs out there, especially with the weekly meetup. And yeah, I mean, good food, good weather.
By the way, I ain't knocking it. I've been there, been to Chiang Mai and absolutely loved it. I've just always said this thing, but why the fuck Chiang Mai? Like, out of
it's random.
In the world, like, why does everyone go there? Like, is there something I'm missing out on, you know? But I haven't experienced it. I can confirm it's great people, great community, and obviously, the weather is a lot better than the UK. But just before, you said something there, like you went there on holiday and you and your mates and you're like, shit, we need to start working online and we want to move out here. So were you working online at that point when you were out there, or what were you doing like as a job when you were out there, like the first time?
Yeah, so I was I was working first sort of 5 years after graduating from uni. I was working in recruitment in the marketing department for that. And I mean, honestly, it was bearable. Like, there was nothing wrong with it, but it just didn't excite me. And I, you know, when I looked at the people who were, I don't know, like my uncle was working in the company that I first worked in. And when I looked at him and I thought, right, that's maybe where I'll be in 30 or 40 years as a director of the company, I was like, I don't want that to be me. You know, like, I don't want to be working 16 hours a day, sleeping 4 hours a night and not really having much of a life. So, and also the other thing is as well, for me, I just wanted a lot more control over where I was going in life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever worked in that sort of background, but usually, you know, people being thrown wherever the company feels like it, and you don't have much control over where you're going in life. So
yeah. Interesting. So you just randomly thought, fuck this, I want to work online.
Yeah, basically. I think it came as a bit of a shock for my family, actually, because, you know, 6 months before I left, I said to them, listen, I'm going to Thailand now. And it was just like a total reality shock for them, honestly. Yeah, I think the other thing as well, my mates got me into reading, you know, that everyone reads it, like the 4-Hour Work Week by Tim Ferriss. So that was like a massive mindset switch for me. And even though when I read it, I was like, I could never see myself doing that, but actually it kind of happened and just built things up from there.
So obviously you started out, you mentioned, you know, you'd done affiliate and stuff like that. You know, if someone's in a dead-end job right now and they're going, man, I'd love to go to Thailand and have this whole digital nomad lifestyle.
Yeah.
Obviously you read the 4-hour working week, but that's obviously not telling you how to do affiliate marketing. So where do you learn affiliate? Where did you personally learn affiliate marketing? Was there a particular course, a particular person you followed, or like how did you get all the knowledge you had to get to be successful?
I think back then I was figuring it out myself, you know, and like just building up one step at a time. I read a few books here and there, but honestly, nothing that memorable. But I know that some resources that really sort of accelerated my learning were, you know, people like Authority Hacker, just listening to their podcast, learning from their channel. I did buy their course, those sort of resources. And then as well, once I moved to Chiang Mai, it was like, I'm no longer the only person I know doing affiliate marketing, and almost, you know, half the co-working spaces that are in were doing affiliate marketing too. So from there, like your knowledge just grows exponentially as you're surrounded by people doing the same things.
There's certainly an inspirational bunch out there when you see the money they're making as well. You're just like, whoa. You know, everything at scale, you're just like, fuck. I like that, you know, surrounding myself with that type of company is class. But obviously you've made a success of that. And going on to what we're supposed to be talking about, which is backlinks. Obviously, having a look at your website, which is juliangoldie.com, for anyone out there who wants to check it out, the link will be below. So you've obviously got, first of all, got a course on backlinks. But on your homepage, and this is going to be slightly controversial for my audience, because I talk a lot about backlinks, not necessarily white hat backlinks as such. However, you know, with all respect, you know, you've got to try and keep things clean depending on what you're working on. We can't all, you know, use the same tactics, you know, in the casino niche as you would for maybe an
whatever.
So keeping things clean and tidy and powerful is essentially where we all want to be. You know, certainly if you're working with corporate clients or you want to just take yourself up a level. So I want to talk about what the hell, you know, white hat backlinks are first and foremost. And one of the things before we go into your course is, and we spoke about it off air, is like Harrow and stuff like that. So I want to talk a bit about Harrow Outreach and how that works. And as I said to you, it's one of those things that, of course, I have used. You know, we all want to get those powerful links that are quite hard to achieve. I just find it that the whole process and the whole task just a pain in the ass. I would rather just pay someone to go away and do it. And, you know, as you say, you've built a team up around it, you know, and you've got a manager, a person doing content and all of that kind of stuff. So can you tell us, for people out there who have maybe not or don't understand Harrow Outreach, because I think a lot of people think it's just garbage. You know, it's just, you know, obviously that you are But within Harrow, help a reporter out. You know, you're getting, you're seeing these requests from journalists, and as you said, off air, sometimes they can be quite controversial topics.
Oh, and they can.
And if you can, for example, a naive person like me could jump on there, dive in. I'm just thinking about the link. I don't really care about the topic. And then the client could be, you know, going crazy because you look like an idiot. So
easily done, yeah.
And things to watch out for when you're doing Harrow. So how do you do it well?
Sure. Do you want me to sort of run through the basics of what a helper report out? So basically, harrowhelperreporter.com is a website where journalists post different ads for articles that they're producing, and they're asking for website owners or business owners to reply to the advert with a quote and basically produce some content and an opinion for them. So for example, a journalist might go onto Harrow and they're like, right, we're looking for people to tell us about the best SaaS software in recruitment. Right. And then anyone who's got a relevant opinion can reply to that query. If it's interested enough, if they convince the journalist that they're authoritative enough, they'll get the Harrow query published and earn a backlink as a result. It's all done. It's free to sign up to the website, and it's done via email once you signed up. So you get emails daily from Harrow. These are all the opportunities you can apply for. Pick the ones you want, reply to them, send the email. I would say with Harrow, you know, you've got a lot of competition. And I think that's why people feel it's very difficult to use, because it's basically a competition, and whoever gets the best pitch and whoever convinces the journalist that their pitch is the best, then they'll get featured, right? So you're competing against, like, maybe sometimes journalists will get like 50 or 100 queries for one single advert, and you want to be in like the top 10%. So there's a lot of competition, which makes it difficult. But at the same time, all the other websites you're competing against probably don't have a good system. They don't have a good way of pitching journalists, a good way of formatting the queries. They don't know how to make their copy interesting. And they don't know how to demonstrate their authority. And that's what it's all about, really. So if you can create a good system around that when you're responding to Harrow queries, then you're much more likely to get your query featured. And the thing I will say about Harrow is, yes, there's a lot of, there is some trash on there, that, you know, there's some websites you don't want backlinks from, and you have to kind of do a bit of prospecting, just like any type of link building, before you start submitting your queries. But at the same time, you know, we've had links for some clients from, you know, just in the last few months, from like entrepreneur.com, Forbes.com, Shopify.com, like DR90 websites, like links you would normally pay, like, I think if you want to get featured on Forbes, it's usually about $2,000.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not always a do follow link. So, and if you tried to do this with the skyscraper technique, you'd have no chance, because, you know, websites like entrepreneur.com, they get reached out to hundreds, if not thousands of times every day. So it's like really exclusive links, top tier links. And one of the only ways to get genuine high quality backlinks, but also to get PR for your brand. So, you know, if you wanted to promote yourself as the expert in SEO and you're applying to all the SEO related queries on Harrow and you're featured in them, then all of a sudden you're featured on Forbes, you're featured on entrepreneur.com. It's all done for free. And it's just a case of building a very good system around Harrow.
Well, when you say free, there's still a lot of time, effort, and pitching goes into that. So nothing in life is free as such. So you're probably failing yourself with that. But but there is obviously a technique. And as you say, if you're going against 50 guys for, say, some SEO thing, you know, I see something, you know, someone wants a quote on what's the best keyword research tool out there. I ping it in. You know, along with 50 other guys saying, oh, it's SEMrush, blah, 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 blah. Obviously, the chances of me being selected, because probably all 50 of us are saying either SEMrush or Ahrefs or whatever. How do you stick out from the crowd? Like, so if you are in such a, you know, because for me, if I want to stick out from the crowd as an SEO speaker or a guy in a podcast, I can say controversial things. I can use my personality to stand out from the crowd. I can give away more information than the next guy to stick out from the crowd. But how do you do that? How do you stick out from the crowd when you're doing it with journalists and it's a text thing? Because they can't really see your personality or the tone. So what kind of tips can you give for someone who potentially wants to do this shit for themselves? How do you stick out from the crowd?
So, all right. So there's a few different ways of doing it. First thing I would say is that, you know, just like any sort of sales page or landing page, you want to format the copy really nicely. So when that journalist receives the pitch from you, they can just copy the quote, paste it into their article, and it's nice and easy. Whereas what I see a lot of people do, and this is why we have to train our writers carefully, our business, is they will just write like a big wall of text. It's just rambling on. It doesn't get to the point. It's kind of messy. And all of a sudden, as soon as the journalist sees that, they're going to be like, well, I'm not going to post that. Like, it's just a nightmare to read, let alone understand. So you have to format it nicely. And then also, you know, it's kind of like the 1% Abdel Pierre, you know, so everything compounds on each other. So even just what most people will be too lazy to do is just include the journalist's name in the first line. So they'll just put, hey, or you know, like they've left the template in. It's like, hey, name, not hey, Paul, or something like that. So including the journalist's name, so taking that from the higher pitch. And then as you go down, the first line you want to say is, you know, I'm responding to your pitch about insert title. And the reason I'm responding to this is because, and you would insert a reason that makes you sound authoritative, right? So for example, when I was featured on Cloudways from Harrow, the first line said, I'm responding to your pitch about agency prices. And the reason I'm responding to this pitch is because I've built my own agency and I'm scaling it this year. So all of a sudden, you're given a reason why you're the authority on that. And 99% of people won't do that, you know, honestly. Unless their agency is selling Harrow links, they won't think from that perspective.
Yeah.
Then as you go down, so you've got your first line, your second line. Now it's time to actually write the query. And when you're writing your response to the Harrow pitch, let's say they're asking about the best software for SEO, you want to really come at it from a different angle, because you know most people are just going to go onto Google, search that topic, copy the first answer from Google and take the lazy route, you know, like the path of least resistance. So if you can come at it from a totally different angle and it's something unique, then all of a sudden you stand out from everyone else. So, yeah. So, for example, putting myself on the spot here, but like if you were saying, right, what's the best keyword research tool for SEO? Then you could say, well, you know, most people will say, you know, insert software name is the best software, but I don't agree with that simply because it doesn't have the right data. It's not up to date. It doesn't give you the right accurate details. So instead, I use this tool, and then you insert the reasons why you like that tool. And you would only do this in about, I would say, 150 words.
Yeah.
You know, 150, 200 words max. So I've actually got some YouTube videos on it, and it, you know, of me writing Harrow responses, and it takes about 10, 15 minutes.
So less is more.
Less is, yeah. Short, concise, straight to the point. Yeah.
Interesting. And I think obviously adding the personalized touches by calling someone their own name.
Yeah.
Yeah, basic standard.
Standard, yeah.
Being a human being. If I'm not doing that, then, as I say, I don't personally do Harrow outreach. I get someone to do that for me. But no, I think with anything in this game, there's a set process, and a lot of them are just common basics.
You know, the other things that I would do to just optimize it, you know, without going on too much, is like, you know, insert a headline. So, you know, like if you've got a sales page, your headline at the top is what's going to hook people in, right? That's the first thing people are going to look at. And it's the same with Harrow. Like when you respond to a query, you want your headline just above what your actual opinion that hooks the reader in. And it's like, right, this is why my response is interesting. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like copyright basics 101. And then also underneath your opinion that you've written, you want to say something like, you know, please let me know if you do feature our quote. Thanks for the opportunity. If you do feature us, let us know, because then we can post it on social media, or we can prod it to our email list, or we can link back to you, something like that. Just give them an incentive to link to you and feature you. Yeah. Because a journalist wants the most clicks and the most attention, right? That's what they get paid for. So if you can offer promotion to them, they're winning and you're winning.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me. But if someone can't be bothered, so again, I said to you off air, and I've just said it there, it's, for me, it's a tedious task. And I think for many affiliate marketers or just guys that are busy in general, just be like, come on, Julian, this is bullshit, man. Like, I can't be bothered looking through this stuff. You know, what are the costs, just the ballpark figure in terms of paying you for something like that? So how does it work? What do the kind of packages look like? So I want some Harrow outreach done, and I come to you and say, right, Julian, sort me out, mate. What's the packages look like? What's the kind of ballpark figures?
Typically, we charge $400 a backlink. And it's really basic. So we charge per link. If you don't get backlinks, you don't pay anything. If you do get backlinks, then we charge $400 per link. And usually those, you know, the domain rating, the authority and traffic of the website is pretty good. If it was, you know, if we got like a DR1 backlink from Harrow, obviously we're not going to charge you $400 for that. But yeah.
Interesting. I think, you know, I think Harrow's probably, although it's been around for a while, I still think it's massively underutilized by our industry. I think a lot of people are going down the routes of paying for PR gigs and maybe, you know, news network websites and stuff like that. But I think what most of us want is the kind of good, juicy stuff. Essentially that's where we all want to be. Even if there is a bit of ego in that, you know, look at your website featured on, you know, you always want that kind of thing to make yourself sound a bit more credible and it always looks good. You know, I've been on Forbes, I've been on this, I've been on that. So, it's a great link building technique. But the other one that you mention on your website is the skyscraper technique. And I think Brian Dean had coined that phrase initially, or that's where I've certainly, you know, I always associate the skyscraper technique with Brian Dean. But again, if people are like, what are they talking about, skyscrapers and all that stuff, can you just give us a bit about what that is and, you know, in layman's terms?
Yeah, sure. So it's basically, it's a form of content marketing. The better your content is, the more targeted it is, the higher quality links you can get and the more of them you can get. So if you look at your competitors and you're like, right, how did they get backlinks? What are they doing to get backlinks right now that I can emulate? Then you can reverse engineer how your competitors are getting backlinks. So who's linking to them? What types of content are they producing to get those backlinks? And then you can create a list of all the websites that link to your competitors, reach out to them. I usually do it via cold email and say, hey, I noticed you linked to joeblogs.com. Maybe you want to link to us too. Here's our content. Here's the reasons why. And you go from there, really, in very layman's terms. Obviously, there's a lot more to it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, but just for layman's terms, in case people out there who are watching, because there are people who are like, I've never even heard of a backlink, let alone. So I like to cover off that so that people get a rough idea of what you're talking about. So obviously the skyscraper technique is another service that you have added to your agency. Now, you've obviously got Harrow, you've got the skyscraper technique. Which one of these is the most popular used? Like, what one within the industry, you're selling to other agencies and freelancers and affiliate marketers. What is the, is it the skyscraper technique or is it Harrow now?
I would say it depends. Like, so when websites typically want links at scale, the skyscraper technique is really effective for that, because you can just scrape your competitors' prospects all day long. And, you know, there's literally like thousands of link building opportunities that you could reach out to. So if you want links at scale, if you really want to scale up your SEO traffic, if you want to get more backlinks to your site and see results on a big, you know, get volume, then the skyscraper technique is really good for that. If you want like the top tier backlinks, maybe you're worried about quality, or you just want to focus on PR, or you want to, you know, some clients come to us and they're like, right, we only want the top tier links. We're not interested in anything else. Then that's when Haro becomes very popular. Yeah.
I'm just curious about the, you know, in terms of the industry itself.
With the industry itself, I see a lot of people doing, I would say, guest posts are right up there, and also link inserts, you know, buying paid links. Yeah.
And do you do those as well as part of your link building agency?
Yeah. So what we do is we, first of all, when clients sign up, we talk them through the process and how we build links. So they're aware that we sometimes buy paid links as an alternative option if we can't get free ones. And it's the same when we give our clients like an account manager, they have that conversation and they make it very transparent. So we make sure the clients are aware of it. But yeah, we do sometimes, because there's no option. You know, a lot of websites realize there's a commercial opportunity with selling backlinks. They know that it's an income source. I mean, I know for ourselves, for some of our affiliate websites, we do sell backlinks on there.
Yeah.
Not to our clients, but to people who approach us via cold email. So it is an opportunity. It's an income stream. And therefore, some websites are non-negotiable. Like, you have, if you want to get a backlink on there, you have to pay some money. Yeah. But at the same time, you have to be careful with vetting that process and making sure those websites are good quality.
That's the important thing, as you say. Like, everyone is charging now. They're, you know, they understand the value of what they've got there. And call it an admin fee, call it what the hell you like.
Yeah.
It's just part of the process now. But as you say, it's about vetting the quality, and that's something I want to then jump onto next, because obviously for me, when I'm getting backlinks, you know, there is a certain metrics, or not certain metrics, but certain quality checks that I do before I go after a link. So if I see a link and, you know, my competition have got it, and somehow I find out where I can get that, and it's going to cost me money, what am I looking for? Is it the traffic going to the website, the keywords that ranks for? Is it indexed? Of course, I do look at the DR and everything. I know people say that shit can be faked and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And of course it can, but, you know, I'm looking at the backlinks that are going to that website as well to see if it is faked. But, you know, I think Matthew Woodward is one that says he's got a 28-point checklist that he goes through before he will say that's a good link. Just curious, and I'm not asking you to tell me all of them, but give us a couple, you know, of things that you would determine quality, or you know, how you would determine whether a link was garbage, you know, when you're analysing them, whether it's DR, whether it's shitty backlinks, no traffic, whatever. What would determine a good link for you?
So for us, I mean, like, the first thing I would say is there's no such thing as like the perfect link. So you're not going to hit every single box for everything, right? But what we do is we look at domain rating. So how authoritative is that website? And obviously it can be manipulated sometimes. So what we look at then is traffic as well. So if that website is getting traffic, then Google obviously sees it as authoritative and trustworthy enough to rank, and therefore it's a decent quality website. And then also we look at the look and feel of the website. So what's the design like? If we go on that site and it's just like, right, this website's blatantly just been created to sell backlinks on there. It's writing about all sorts of generic stuff. It's got like that design template everyone's using on WordPress. Then we know that's not a real website. It doesn't have a real audience. And it's just a website that's created to manipulate Google's rankings and sell backlinks. Then also we look at other things like relevance too. So how relevant is that website to our clients? Because, you know, if you've got a website that's for a school, and then you get a backlink from a plumber in Zimbabwe, then it's not that relevant, right? So it's about relevance too. And then we just have all these different checks in place to make sure it's decent quality. The other thing is, well, we have a blacklist in place so that we know some websites we don't want to deal with them. also, you know, you got to be careful, because if that website's like posting loads of links to casinos or Viagra sellers or all sorts of dodgy stuff, then obviously we don't want our client's website associated with that as well. So we avoid sites like that too.
I'll tell you another one, and I actually kicked myself because I fell for it as well. I had a link opportunity last week, and the domain that I was getting the link on, it was like a news website, and had loads of content. I briefly looked at it, and I'm like, fuck, yeah, I need a link on that. Now, I paid the money for the link. The link came back, you know, and all that stuff, and that was all good and well. But what the motherfucker done was basically made a play on the domain name. So it wasn't actually the publication I actually thought it was. Wow. So he made a slight change to the name. So I thought I was getting this reasonable link, because I looked at it. The traffic value was like $92 when I looked at it in Ahrefs, but I just assumed it was like the high profile one, you know, because of the price and because of the name. I'd never even done the check and ran it through. So all I'm trying to say here is, if you're getting links, guys, and you are buying them, make sure that no one fools you with the name. Because if you see, I'm not saying it was the New York Times, right? But let's say it was the New York Times that I was paying for a link on, and someone could have like the newyorktimes.com, and the actual New York Times is just like newyorktimes.com. So someone could have the or something, you know, a different play on the domain name, and it looks quite similar, and it's just there, as you say, set up to sell links. It had no real traffic, and it looked real to me, you know, just at a first glance. You just look at it and you go, ah, yeah, that's the one. It never even sent him his money. And then you look at it and you're like, what a fucking bastard.
That's outrageous, isn't it?
It's me being stupid, though. Like, I should have, I've went away from, you know, the quality checks and, you know, just copying and pasting the URL and putting it in. So, you know, I've just went, nah, I know that's a good one, or I thought it was a good one, and got sucked right in and spat right back out. So even me still, you know, you can get turned over.
You do have to be careful,
So, sure. You know, those quality checks are important. And if you're sloppy with it, you'll end up like me, paying good money for, you know, a big pile of dung. So... so be careful of that. But before we jump on to what I want to talk about next, again, with the skyscraper technique and someone looking at the stuff that you offer, what's the kind of ballpark figure for the kind of skyscraper technique? How does that work? Is it a monthly package or packages, or how does it work?
Yeah, I mean, typically for us, do you mean like in terms of how it works for our agency and how much we charge?
If someone out here is watching and they're like, I quite like Julian, I want that skyscraper technique, you know, this is for me. What do your packages look like? What's the starting point?
So what we do, typically we work with clients who are willing to spend $1,000 or more per month on link building. And we charge per backlink. Usually, if it's like between a DR30 and a DR70, it's around $150 per link. Mm-hmm. We are increasing our prices soon, but at the minute, those are the prices. And
so you mean if a guy comes to you with, say, $300, you can't build him a whole bunch of links for that?
I mean,
I'm only kidding you on.
on the spot there, man.
You always get these clients, and you know, obviously, on average, I know what links cost. You know, I've got my own link building agency. I know what links cost, and obviously, you know, we've got Pitchbox, we've got this, we've got that, we've got overheads, you know, time, content, people to come up with the articles and all that shit. And you get guys coming saying, like, I've got $200 a month, and you're like, dude, like,
there's nothing I can do.
What do you want me to do here, man? Like, so I just like,
you can't do miracles.
When you were like, sorry for doing that, it makes me laugh. But
that was funny. I'm gonna have to do that to someone else.
Yeah, give someone else that. But of course, you know, there will be people out there now who go, fuck, you know, Julian's $400 for a Harrow link, it's £1,000 minimum link budget. You know, that is going to be out with some people's budget. And we've all been there, you know, we've not always had money to build things up. You do have an option though of a course on the website. And obviously you are basically giving people, you know, how to build links and everything else and all of that kind of stuff, which is on your website, juliangoldie.com. So you've basically got an SEO course there, which has also got your link building mastery video course in there and all that kind of stuff. And obviously you've got why people should listen to you. You've got case studies and all of that kind of stuff. So the course you have at the moment, is it, you know, obviously people can go to your website and see it. It's $997. There seems to be, from the landing page, a whole bunch of value in there. But I'm just curious to know about your course format. So is it all in video format, like screen sharing and all that kind of stuff, or is it text-based?
It's all in video format. Yeah. Yeah. So every video sort of walks you through over the shoulder, you know, in terms of what you need to do, here are the actionable steps. Sort of created it as well, because I know a lot of people, like you say, they don't have the time to do it themselves, especially with stuff like Harrow. So what you can do is just give this course to your team and train them up. I know that a few agencies that bought from us, they gave this course to their VA to handle and understand how to build backlinks.
And within that course, certainly where Harrow's concerned, do you give people like the kind of templates that you use?
Yes.
So they can basically go in there, watch it, understand it, and then use your actual strategy in terms of pitching.
Exactly.
Without using your writers, of course. interesting. Personally, I like over-the-shoulder videos. I just think, I've had some courses and people are still doing them in kind of text format and stuff. And you're just like, I can't be bothered reading this stuff. Like, just show me a video quickly, like what you're doing, and show me your template and then let me go on with it. You know, so.
Yeah, that's it. The fastest way to get results. Yeah. Because I know like a lot of people, they prefer learning via video, right? If they can see someone doing it, they know they can do it themselves.
One other question on your link building. You obviously say, you know, you do outreach and stuff like that. What kind of tools are you using for outreach? Do you use Pitchbox? Are you using, you know, something different? I'm just curious to know, you know, what kind of what tools you're using for outreach?
So what we typically use for clients, for example, is so first of all, we use Ahrefs for prospecting and finding the websites to reach out to. After that, we prospect in Google Sheets, free tool to use. From there, we find the email addresses with Hunter.io. And they're actually a previous client of ours. But yeah, basically we find the email addresses from Hunter. We verify them because a lot of the email addresses you find on the web are expired, or that person no longer works there, or they're just not going to work. So to reduce bounce rates and increase deliverability, we verify every email address on Hunter too. And then for outreach, we've tested a few different tools really. So my personal favorite is Lemlist, Lemlist.com. I've been using them for like years. Also, we've tried Hunter campaigns, and basically all the beauty of like is similar to Pitchbox, right? So you can automate your email sending. You can say, right, I want to send one email now, one in 7 days, one another 7 days after that, and follow up. And also you can just upload all the prospects you've built on Google Sheets with Hunter and Ahrefs, and then put them into Lemlist, fill out all the fields in your email copy, personalize the email to them, and then just set it up and automate it. Yeah. So we like, yeah, Lemlist, Hunter campaigns is really good. And that's pretty much it, really. I mean, we build back for our clients, we build the backlink tracker on Google Sheets, and it just breaks down like, right, here's the link from, the link to, the domain rating, organic traffic, how much you build per link.
Yeah. Interesting. I'm always curious to ask that because everyone uses different tools and stuff like that. I've never even heard of Lemlist, so another one for me to look at. I've used Hunter.io and various others, but I just, again, I like to see what other people are using, you know, because not everyone has to use Pitchbox, for example. You know, there are Mailshake, there are other options out there that, you know, if you wanted to do outreach and all that kind of stuff. So, but I think obviously, as you're saying, like Hunter.io, making sure that you're not, you know, sending it out to thousands of people with and stuff like that.
That's an important
part of the process. So, nah, that's pretty cool. Before we do wrap up, though, I just do want to talk about something that I found quite interesting on your website. So, obviously, you've went to Thailand and you know, started doing your own affiliate marketing. Now you've built up this agency and all that stuff. And people are going to go, right, fair play, the guy done well. You know, he can build links. It is what it is. And it's not easy. The biggest part of that whole thing is getting clients. And you've always mentioned on your website, you know, that you've worked with loads of people on Upwork and various other platforms. So for anyone out there who is doing good link building and maybe considering building an agency, maybe even wants to join you in Thailand, you know,
welcome to
a common question I get asked is, where do we get new clients? And obviously you've utilized a platform like Upwork. I know a lot of people that I've spoken to are like, I just wouldn't list myself on there. They just see that as kind of, you know, the real bottom of the level in terms of being able to get clients. But, you know, cold calling's dead, you know, just blanket spamming people just doesn't work. Yeah. So I think, you know, these platforms is, you know, they get so much traffic that, of course, you're going to pick up some business. But I'm just curious to know, how much business can one pick up from the likes of Upwork? You know, is it outrageous amounts of money? And how do you build yourself up on Upwork?
So on Upwork, yeah, if you've got an SEO agency or if you've got any type of agency, Upwork is a really good platform. I'd say, yes, there is a lot of crap on there. There's a lot of clients that, you know, it's like similar to Fiverr where they only want to spend $5, $10, $15 per project. But then also you'll get a lot of other clients who are like top, really top end clients, you know, like you're talking like 8-figure, 9-figure companies, some of them. Yeah. And they're hiring through Upwork simply because it saves some time, it's convenient, and they've just got a whole pool of talent on there. So it saves them a lot of time. And it's, what I would say as well is that when you're pricing yourself on Upwork, you want to... The problem is, I think a lot of people are scared of going to, like you say, it's the bottom of the pile. They're scared of like a race to the bottom in terms of pricing. But if you position yourself properly on Upwork, if you set yourself apart with your pricing, you say, right, I'm only going to work with clients who are willing to spend X amount per month.
Yeah.
And any other clients who come to me below that and they don't have the budget, sure, I'm going to try and help them, but I'm probably not going to take them on as a client. So it's really about positioning yourself and finding a way to quickly filter out which clients are serious and which clients have a good budget. And there are certain ways of doing that. And then also, you know, in terms of getting yourself going, you know, getting the momentum on Upwork, it's all about reviews. I would say it's all about trust and authority. So number one, just making sure that with every contract, if the client's happy, make sure you get a review from them. Yeah. you know, obviously make sure it's a neutral review and that you're not trying to sway it in any way. But but like, yeah, it's, you know, the more reviews you have in your profile, the more social proof you've got. And as you probably already know, like, social proof is the most powerful selling point you can have, really. So if a client goes to your profile and they're like, right, this guy's, he's tried, tested, and proven, he's got a bunch of 5-star reviews, clients love him, it's a no-brainer. We're going to hire that guy over everyone else.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because I think, although a lot of people see it as the kind of bottom of the kind of level in terms of where you get clients, again, that leaves more opportunity for guys like you to make money because it's naive because of the volume of traffic that's on there. But on that note, Julian, we will wrap up. We do appreciate you coming on and sharing some of the link building stuff.
Thanks for having me.
No, no worries. It's a pleasure, mate. A pleasure. And as I say, backlinking, one of my backlinks is something that I've always been strong on, always advocated, spoke about, and all that stuff. So it's always great to talk about people and potentially, you know, talking about things that are slightly out with my comfort zone, like Harrow. You know, it's one of those ones where I'm just like, so that's always nice to put that out there for people to listen to. But just a reminder of where people can get you. Where's the best place to get a hold of you? Is it the juliangoldie.com?
Yeah, juliangoldie.com is the best place. You can book in a call on there and
So people can just jump on free strategy call, something like that, or how does it work?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's a book a call button on the website. You can just book a call, or there's a live chat feature as well where you can just get your questions answered straight away.
One question on that. Is it you the chat doing the live chat?
It's my team because obviously, you know,
I'm only kidding.
There's not
I'm
enough for me to go around, is there?
I'm only kidding. I just wanted
I'm
to just, see
I'm sat back. There 24/7.
Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry. Oh, man. But nah, I appreciate it, mate. And thank you very much for coming on. Julian's linked tab below, including his social media. Do hit him up if you do want to discuss your link building requirements, or if you're interested in learning from Julian, go check out his course. And yeah, a pleasure to have you, mate.
Thanks very much. Yeah, appreciate it.